Thank you, Brother Joe. Good morning. Good morning. Good to see everybody this morning. You guys have on long sleeve shirts. Well, brother, you got on a Hawaiian shirt, but I noticed you got a T-shirt underneath it. But nice and cool out this morning. That was awesome. And if you left your vehicle out, you had to scrape ice off the windshield. That'll teach you. That'll get you. Well, friends, what a joy it is to be here this morning. And we're going to do a couple messages on Thanksgiving. And it's in November, and we need to be a thankful people. So if you have your Bibles, let's take them out to Ephesians chapter 5. And I want to begin at verse 17 this morning. Ephesians, the fifth chapter, and verse number 17. Before I get started this morning, friends, I just want to tell everybody that there's going to be a Calvary Baptist Church reunion. It's going to be held at Westside Baptist Church. That's on November the 15th. And it's going to be from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. So if you are available and you'd like to be a part of that, we extend that invitation to you this morning. So once again, Calvary Baptist Church Reunion on November the 15th from 1 to 4 p.m. So we'd love to have you. I know there's people that are still in this church that were here when Pastor Don was pastoring, and I think he pastored for almost 30 years, and so we're thankful for his ministry and his life and opportunity to visit with him. But let's notice it together, friends, for Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 17. And by the way, before we get started, I've titled the message, Thankful in All Things, All Things. That's a plural noun, and friends, you know, when we think about all things, that's not saying some things. Sometimes we're thankful for some things, but God says we're to be thankful in all things. Ephesians 5, verse 17, wherefore be not unwise. And beloved, this morning, we can be unwise concerning the will of God. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Now watch verse 20. Giving thanks. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. With those words in mind, let's bow in a word of prayer this morning. Father God, we would begin today by giving you thanks. Father, you tell us that we're to be thankful people. We're to be thankful in all things. And Father, we can only do that in the power of your might. Lord, we realize in and of ourselves and the understanding of our human dynamic that we can be very unthankful. And yet, Father, you call us to live outside of ourselves. And Father, you have empowered us and enabled us. You have given us everything necessary to live godly lives. You've given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And Father, we thank you for that this morning. And so, Father, this morning as we embark upon your word, we pray, God, that your Spirit would speak to each heart. And Lord, that you would stir us and move us and challenge us and change us this morning, God, for your glory. Father, we thank you for each precious life this morning. And thank you, Lord, for those that are here and those that are not here. And Father, we think of those that are traveling. Think of Dan and Rhonda. We pray your hedge about them and others that may be traveling today. Father, we pray that you would hedge them about, protect them, Father, and Lord, that their time of travel would be a time of rejoicing, a time of fellowship. And so, Father, we pray your blessing on travelers. I think this morning of Kathy Tevis, and Father, we pray for her in light of the loss of a loved one, but not only that, Father, knowing that she's suffering physically. God, we pray for healing in her body. I think of Brother Don Cummins this morning. And God, you can take the pain out of his hip. And Father, we believe you for that today. Even today, Father, we pray for your healing touch upon his body. And I think today in particular of Terry and Sherry. And we thank you so much for them. And Father, we pray that you would continue to grace them, encourage them, strengthen them. Father, we pray, God, that your people would step up in areas that need to be taken care of. Father, they'd be encouraged to do so, and that you would just lead in all the endeavors, Father, as they rebuild from the loss that took place through this fire. And so, Father, we pray your blessing on them today. And Father, I think today of Jeremiah, as he's looking for an animal that he shot, Father, we pray that you would reveal that to him. Pray your protection about the brother, and his fellowship with his physical brother. Father, we just pray your blessing on both of them today. Father, we ask this morning that you would lead this service. Father God, I pray that I would be out of the way, and God, that you would speak through me, that you would use me today. And so, Father, I pray now that you would have your way and that you would direct this hour. We commit it to you. We thank you for it. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Friends, I want to begin this morning by saying that thankfulness is a byproduct of regeneration. Now, some of us may say, well, what does regeneration mean? Well, I'm glad you asked the question. Regeneration has everything to do with the work of Jesus Christ in and through our lives. And friends, the Bible teaches us very clearly that when God brings us under conviction, we realize our lostness, that we're sinners. And the gospel is presented when we believe on Jesus Christ, God saves us. He regenerates us. He makes us brand new. And so it's by His Spirit, not by works of righteousness we have done, but according to His mercy, He has saved us by the washing and the regeneration or the renewing of God the Holy Spirit. And so sin separates us from God. And when we believe on Jesus Christ, God closes the gap. He forgives us of all of our sin, and we have a relationship with Him that lasts forever. It's eternal. And we have that through Christ. If you have your Bibles, let's go ahead and open them up again or turn over to Colossians chapter 1, and I want to look at verse number 12. Colossians 1 and verse number 12. I appreciated the Sunday school hour. Brother John, as always, did an excellent job. And he was in the book of Colossians, but he didn't read verse 12, so I'm going to read it this morning. We looked at several passages there, but Colossians 1, verse 12. The Bible says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet. That has the idea as He has enabled us. He's made it possible to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. So I asked the question this morning, why are we thankful? Friends, we're thankful because God in His grace has saved us and we are part of that eternal inheritance. And so we are that's all made possible by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And beloved, you know, we can hear these words and they can just run through our minds and right out the other side. Or we can capture these words and we can stop them in our hearts and our minds and understand this morning that what God has done is tremendous on my behalf and your behalf. Amen. Friends, we've been saved eternally. This life has meaning and purpose in the fact that God has regenerated us. We have an eternal perspective. We're on our way to heaven and we're just finishing up the course. That's right. Friends, what a prospect. What a joy. In John chapter 8 and verse 12, the Bible tells us this, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Beloved, the world is on a collision course and a destiny and an eternity without God. And beloved, this morning, if we believe the gospel, friends, we're on the winning side. We've won in this life. We are victors in this life. And all because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear people, we have a glorious prospect this morning. We have an eternal home waiting for each one of us in the glories of heaven. That's not based on man's reasoning or man's words. That's based on the truth of Almighty God. He spoke it. And I'm going to tell you this morning, when God speaks, it's like E.F. Hutton, we must listen. We must listen. Friends, He's God. He's all in all. He's the sufficient one. And so, as believers, we have everything to look forward to this morning. And if we have everything to look forward to, that ought to resonate within us a heart of what? Thanksgiving. We ought to be thankful people. Friends, we ought to get up in the morning and say, God, thank you that you've saved my soul. You know, beloved, there's so much peace. You know, there's so much tranquility when you understand that your slate was filthy, dirty with sin, and God erased it all. As the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. You know, before I was saved, I carried a lot of burdens. I had a lot of stress on me. I'd lived a corrupt life, things that I would never even share with people. The day I was saved, God took away all the pressure. He delivered me. Friends, that makes me thankful. Makes me thankful. We have an inheritance that cannot fade away. It will not pass away. 1 Peter 1:3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that's infallible." Notice that. Incorruptible, undefiled, and cannot fade away. It's eternal. Friends, we have an inheritance that has been given to us by God as an act of a free gift. He extends it to us. We just take it. What a joy. You know, a lot of people have this idea that they've got to clean up their lives and they've got to change their lives for God to accept them. No, no, no. You come to Him by faith. You believe Him. He makes the changes. We just trust Him. Friends, I'll tell you, the grace of God is so marvelous. It's so good. It creates rejoicing. God loves us. God saves us. God sanctifies us. And one day God will glorify us. Friends, we have a wonderful prospect. Look again at Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 now. Listen to this. Who hath delivered from us the power of darkness and hath translated. That word there is methesteme, and it means to be transferred or to be exchanged from darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. Verse 14. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Beloved, it is an amazing thing to be completely forgiven. You know, if we don't understand this doctrinal truth, if this isn't a part of our lives, we are carrying burdens and loads that we should never have to carry. The Bible is emphatically clear that when we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Beloved, it's so amazing to me that when we believe what God says, immediately God does a work in our lives. He does a work in our lives and is so far outside of ourselves. It's a work we could never do, but He's done it. And friends, when we come to Him in faith and we believe on Him and we believe the message concerning the cross of Christ and we receive it into our hearts, God forever changes our lives. That's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. So why are Christians so thankful? Why are we around people who are always thankful, who are always energetic, who are always rejoicing? Because they understand the truth of God's Word. They understand that Jesus died for their sins. And there's no reason to be downcast, friends, when we understand what God has done for us. Now, I'm not saying this morning we can't be downcast, because we can. But as soon as we begin to embrace the truth of the Word of God, we begin to appropriate it in our lives, we believe it, we stand on it, guess what happens? God, He does lift us up, brother. God takes away all that heaviness and all that concern, and He takes us to this place of absolute freedom. He sets us free. You see, friends, knowing and loving God is not based, and Brother Joe alluded to it, and I think Brother John did this morning, but it's not based on a feeling. So many people are so confused about that. They think the Christian life is all about how they feel. Friends, our feelings are as fickle as the day. I mean, they're as fickle as the weather. They're forever changing, and you cannot trust your feelings. Your feelings will lie to you, they will deceive you, and feelings are completely controlled by the environment. You know, instead of being a thermometer, many of us instead of being a thermostat, many of us are a thermometer. And we rise, and you know, the up and down movement takes place based on our circumstances. Beloved, when you walk with God and you believe the principles of God, It has nothing to do with external pressures. It has everything to do with what God says, and we simply believe what He says. And friends, we find stability. We find strength. We find a place of reasoning, and it's outside the scope of our feelings and our emotions. Our feelings and our emotions can never be trusted. And that was said in the Sunday school hour. It's an absolute truth. They cannot be trusted. Friends, we don't live based off of our feelings. Our thankfulness is driven by fundamental truths that have their origin in this timeless book that lasts throughout eternity, that was written by the God of heaven, that was manifested in the flesh through the person of Jesus Christ, that never changes, the same today, yesterday, and forever. We stand on what it says. Amen. That's the simplicity. That's the simplicity of what God has given to us. And so I can live my life in total freedom, absolute assurance, steadfastness. Why? Because what God says never changes. Friends, that's something to hang on to. We live in a changing world. We live in a world that's forever changing. Our God never changes. What He says, we must believe, we can believe, and we can take it all the way to the bank. It's a living reality. And so, friends, thankfulness is driven by our love for God, and it's displayed through our obedience to Him. Moses, speaking to God, said this. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20 in your Bibles. And I want to look at verse number 6. Exodus 20 and verse 6. We know that Moses wrote the Pentateuch. He wrote Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. He's the writer of the first five books of the Old Testament. And in Exodus 20 and verse 6, he says this. Exodus 20 and verse 6, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me. Showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me. Friends, I have a quick question this morning for you, a little theological question. It's worth about 20 points this morning. This is a good one. But just kidding with you. But my question this morning is did we love God first or did God love us first? Well, He loved us first. Friends, we have no ability to love God apart from His work in our lives. We have to receive that gift of grace that's given through the Lord Jesus Christ before we can ever love God. Now, what's interesting about all that is that God does His work on the front end, and He sent God the Holy Spirit into the world to convict the world of righteousness, judgment, and sin, and He surely does do that. And when we respond to that conviction, we believe on Christ, God saves us, and all of a sudden He regenerates us, and now we have this newfound love for the God of heaven. You see, beloved, this morning, nobody walks with God apart from first knowing God's love. And friends, we cannot reciprocate that love until we've been born again. And when we're saved, we have now an ability to reciprocate back to God that which He's demonstrated to us. It's an amazing thing. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth His love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Isn't that amazing? Christ died for us. He loved us while we were yet sinners. 1 John 4:19, we love Him because He first loved us. You see, friends, God loves us this morning. And I know I often bring this up, but I believe that a man that does not understand the love of God will never walk faithfully with God. We have to know that He loves us. And then, friends, when we really understand that from a biblical perspective, it does a transforming work in our hearts where we say, God, I want to love You with all my heart. Think about what it says there in Luke chapter 7. It says that whom He's forgiven much, they love much. And friends, when we understand the dynamic of forgiveness, it causes us to love Him. We love Him because He first loved us. We are not the initiators. God is the initiator. And showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Please note that love and obedience are connected. And we're going to delve deep into that this morning. Love and obedience cannot be separated. You see, when we love God, the objective of our hearts is to obey God. And folks, we must know God's love first. Once again, we will never reciprocate back to God if we're at all in question of His love for us. And the dynamic of that is that He demonstrated His love in that He literally took upon human flesh, was made in the likeness of men, and He went to a cross, and on that cross He would shed His blood for my sins and for your sins, for remission. And Hebrews 9:22 says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Friends, don't ever let anybody take away the reality of the cleansing work of the blood of Christ. By His blood. By His blood. Psalm 119, verse 131. Let's go ahead and turn over there this morning. Psalm 119, verse 131. Listen to what David says in this psalm. Actually, I'm not even sure that David wrote this psalm, to be honest with you, but we'll say, listen to what the psalmist said here in Psalm 119, verse 131. He says, I opened my mouth and panted. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for thy commandments. So why did the psalmist long for the commandments of God? Let me submit to you this morning, the reason he longed for those commandments is he understood the benefits of those commandments. You see, beloved, this morning by nature, as human beings, we don't like anybody to tell us what to do. Nobody in this room likes to be told what to do. Not as a human being. I mean, we are in rebellion to authority. And friends, we're seeing that in our world today as never before. When you look at what's going on in different areas within the United States and globally, there is a rebellion to authority. And we see that as never before. And so the human nature, the human dynamic is that we don't want to be told what to do. And yet we find here that the psalmist says that he pants, he hungers, he yearns for the commandments of God. Does not God's commandments, do they not put pressure on you and I? They do. They do. But friends, when we love God, that pressure goes away. It goes away. Why does it go away? Because now it's a willing choice to walk in the midst of those commandments. We will to do what He tells us to do. Do we do that by our humanness? No. It's done supernaturally as the Spirit of God takes up residence in our lives. And 1 John 5, verse 3 says this, for this is the love of God. What is the love of God? That we keep His commandments. Let's go ahead and turn there. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. Let's read it together. 1 John 5 and verse number 3. First John 5, verse 3 says, for this is the love of God. So what is the love of God? That we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. Watch this. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Friends, those who do not love God do not want God's commandments. But when we come to know Him, and we understand what He's doing and what He has done, all of a sudden, all that changes. And beloved, I want us to get this morning. This is so important. God's commandments were designed for you and me to protect us from ourselves. What do you think about that? God is protecting us from ourselves. You see, when people are left to themselves and they have no guidance and no direction, they come apart. And we could list all the sin that we see in the world today that's destroying the lives of people. Why is it destroying the lives of people? Because they have no control. They have no boundaries. Beloved, if we do not believe right this morning, there's no way that we can think right. And if we do not think right, we've said it many times, there's no way we can live right. So we must believe right in order to think right, and then we will live right. And so God has initiated, He has set boundaries for us that are absolutely important because they keep us from self-destruction. Friends, we would destroy ourselves. And many people have destroyed themselves, and not only destroying themselves, but they've destroyed those that are around them. In Psalm 28:7, the psalmist says, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted Him, and I am helped." Friends, we find help when we trust the living God. That's where we need to live. "Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise Him." Beloved, those who experience the love of God are a thankful people in all things, because they understand that God has set boundaries. You know, some years ago, when I was a youth pastor, I had done a teaching on wayward young people and why young people today are wayward. And friends, we live in a world today where there is no defining lines. And kids left to themselves, they go wild. And they do crazy things. And I'm not saying that happens in every situation, because there are some kids that come out of an environment like that and they end up doing well, but if you look at the numbers, it's very few. And so God designed us in such a way that we all want boundaries. Whether we realize that or not, we want boundaries today. And so kids who run off and they get in gangs and you know, in cults and stuff, the reason they're doing that is they're looking for those boundaries. Friends, God's given us beautiful boundaries. We just need to believe what He says. We just need to believe what He says. Folks, our expression of thankfulness in all things literally speaks to those around us, telling them who we really are. And I can be around somebody just a few minutes, and I can tell you where their heart is real quick. And it's all in the expression of how they speak and what they say and where that language takes my thoughts. And friends, it's true with all of us. People are reading us like a book, and we're either a thankful people or we're not. And friends, God wants you and I to be thankful. He wants us to be filled with thanksgiving, but it doesn't stop there. Friends, we offer up thanks to God because He's given us freedom. Now, everybody wants freedom today. True freedom comes when the power of sin is broken in our lives. Friends, addictions and vices and behaviors are a control that happens, according to Ephesians 2, verse 2, by the prince of the power of the air that energizes the children of disobedience. And He's energizing people, and people are saying, "Why am I doing what I'm doing?" It's because they don't have the power of God in their life. God makes those changes. He frees us. Our penitentiaries are full of people who cannot make right choices. They make wrong choices. Friends, unthankful people, unholy people, unsaved people. And unsaved people, typically, if you're around people that are in the ways of the world, you typically don't hear thankfulness. And it's because they've experienced no freedom. They haven't been set free. Unthankful people say to God, this is how the unsaved mind works. Unthankful people say to God, "Well, God, you don't love me because you don't give me what I want." And you know, the health and wealth gospel has become the end for that, because they tell people they can have what they want if they just have enough faith. Well, friends, it's not faith that's derived from the Word of God. Faith is derived from the Word of God, believes the Word of God. They believe something other than the Word of God. And they're never satisfied. Friends, God sets boundaries in our lives because He loves us. And those boundaries, if we understand the purpose of the commandments and the directives of God, those boundaries are for us. And they give us the parameters by which God wants to lead us. We should never push back against those. We should embrace those and say, "God, thank you for loving me enough." This is just a state of reasoning according to the Scripture. Thank you for loving me enough to set these boundaries in my life. Whole different perspective. God's not a giant killjoy in the sky who wants to rob us of our joy. No, He wants to give us more joy. He wants to fulfill the longings of our heart, but that can only happen when we understand the dynamics of His truth. We have to understand what He's saying. Friends, boundaries are important. And God gives them to us for a purpose. Once again, you leave a child to himself and chaos takes place. Friends, America is divided today. Would you guys agree with that? You know, when it says in Matthew that kingdom shall be against kingdom, you know what that is? That's unrest within the nation. And beloved, what we're seeing today is we're seeing a woke culture that has no boundaries, no parameters. When they speak word salads. They're not logical thinkers. They can't think from A to B. They have a lot to say, but most of the time it makes no sense. And it's always emotionally driven. If you listen close to the politicians that are woke and to the culture that's woke out there, they have a lot to say, but it's not reasonable. It makes no reason. There's no common sense to it. And the boundaries are broken. They're not there. Friends, the public school system, and this may upset some people, and I apologize if you're upset, but I'm going to tell you the truth because I love you. But the Bible is so clear about defining truths. And friends, there's only one truth, and it comes from the Word of God. And we are to believe that truth. And so what we have in the public school system today is we have teachers that are teaching who have no concept of God. They're woke in their thinking, and they're instilling that into the lives of children. And then we expect to have a great society and a good working culture, and it's totally distorted and disrupted. Why is that? There's no boundaries. There's no boundaries. Law enforcement has been shackled, or I can't think of the word I was looking for there, but what do they call it? Hamstrung, or what's the phrase they use there? Huh? That's getting up. But they've been suppressed. And friends, the woke culture under the last administration was destroying law in this land. And friends, once again, what they were doing is they were opening up the boundaries. There's no laws. There's no restraints. And when the human psyche has its way, it comes unglued. Riots, trouble, murder, the list goes on. They set no prudent boundaries. The woke culture sets no prudent boundaries. You see, dear people, the best thing we can do is thank God for His commandments this morning. Why? They set boundaries for our lives. You see, sometimes what happens in preaching and teaching is people are told a lot of things, but it's never put into working practice. Friends, we need to understand the benefits of commandments. They are boundaries set by God to benefit us. It takes on a whole new dynamic. Friends, I want God's boundaries in my life. I want His commandments. Why? Because I know they are that which is best for me, and they are that which is best for you. He gives them to us to keep us in line. Friends, if you don't remember anything else this morning, please remember this. The pressures of life are that which make us who we are. And beloved, we need the pressure of God's Word in our lives every day. There's a nature in man, and I would dare say that it's in every one of us, that wants to push back against that transforming pressure. But I'm going to tell you this morning, if you're going to be a man of God, a woman of God, you better let the pressures of God have their rightful place in your life, because if you don't, you'll step outside of His boundaries. And friends, you'll find yourself in a difficult place. God's given us those commandments for our benefit, and they are good. And so next time you read something in the Word of God that puts pressure on your life, tell yourself, this is good, and I need to be doing what God says. It's good. It's good, friends. God does all things well. All things well. Psalm 18 and verse 30. Let's go ahead and turn there. Middle of your Bible, just open it up to the middle. You should be Proverbs, Psalms. You should be right there. Psalms chapter 18, verse 30. God does things very well, friends. And Psalm 18, verse 30 tells us. It tells us. Psalms 18, verse 30. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. You know what, friends? You know, here we are from the time of Genesis to present day, basically 6,000 years. And friends, God has, for the last 6,000 years, proved Himself to be perfect in all things. And people have tried and they've challenged the Word of God. Have they distinguished it? Have they stopped it? No, it lives on. Why is that? Because God's behind it. As for God, His way is perfect. The Word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler. Listen to all those that trust Him. For who is God save the Lord, or who is the rock save our God? Now watch verse 32. It is God that girdeth me with strength. Watch this. And maketh my way perfect. Friends, if our understanding of God is clear based on this passage, we will praise Him no matter what. Why? Because His way is perfect. Now let's formulate that thought. If this morning, if I believe that God is sovereignly in control of all things, and there's nothing that happens outside of His will, there's nothing that comes into my life that doesn't have plan and purpose. Everything that comes in my life has plan and purpose. And friends, the pressures of this life are designed to cause me to trust God instead of my circumstance. Yeah, that's right. If you let your circumstance dictate to you, friends, you're going to be all over the place. That's not where the boundaries are. They come from the truth of the Word of God. We have to believe what God says. He maketh my way perfect. Romans 8:28 says, and all things work together for the good to them that love God and to them that are called according to His purpose. Beloved, in the midst of what would seem to be horrible tragedy, God has plan and purpose. Now, I'm not saying, when Job was tried, we know that Satan is the worker of wickedness and evil in this world. And when he was tried, God had to pull back the hedge and allow Job to be tried. It wasn't God that tried him. He allowed Satan to afflict him. He allowed that. And friends, sometimes God pulls back the hedge and He allows certain things, not to tempt us to get outside of His boundaries, but to stay in His boundaries. Friends, when the Spirit of God led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, the whole concept behind that is that God would be glorified because Jesus would not succumb to the temptation. And friends, we have a power working in us that if we walk in the truth, when those things come, we yield up our members as instruments of righteousness to Almighty God, and He gives us victory through that pressure that comes upon us. He gives us the victory. And who gets the glory? We give Him glory. But we're the benefactors of His protection. Psalm 107 verse 8 says, oh, that men would praise the Lord. Why? For His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. You know, beloved, living in a fallen world and understanding it, you know, more and more every day as I get in the Word of God, because obviously before I was a Christian, I didn't understand the dynamics of what was going on around me. I mean, I was a product of it. And the outcomes of my life were demonstrated that I was closely connected to it. But when I come to Christ, God separated me from that, and He's given me a whole different point of view. And friends, the point of view now is that I'm not looking to the world to give me answers. Amen. I'm looking to the Christ of the Bible to give me the answers. Right. And friends, God gives us the perspectives. It's through His unchanging truth. It never changes. And friends, it's dependable. It's dependable. Now, let's get some perspective this morning. I just want to try to bring things together to register in our minds. And as I was thinking about this, I was thinking about this fact this morning. You know, most of us in this room, not all of us, obviously, but most of us have had children. And we've had the great opportunity to raise children. For many of us now, we have grandchildren. But as you're raising your child, and that child is spurning your instruction, they're talking back to you, they're resisting what you have to say, does that create a favorable situation where you want to bless them for their disobedience? I think not, unless you're not normal, unless something's wrong with you. There's people out there that would bless that. That's not the majority. But friends, we don't like that. I mean, I never enjoyed my children talking back to me or rebelling against me. I didn't appreciate that. That troubled me. And I have to be honest this morning and transparent. When I was younger as a believer, there's a lot of things I did not manage correctly. But thank God in His grace, God's restored so many things. But friends, I want us to think about this, you know, as we think about parental authority, parental responsibility, and then we have children who push back against it, how it grieves our hearts. It troubles us. And this morning, I have to ask, as I ask myself, why would we think that the God of heaven, who made us in His own likeness, in His own image, would have a different view? And yet many of us, this morning, if we're being honest, we're pushing back. Friends, we ought to fix that. We ought to be praying about that. God, make those changes. I don't want to be one who pushes back. God, help me to be a person who gets in alignment with Your commandments, with Your directives. God, I need that power in my life. I need that power in my life. Friends, if we truly believe the Bible, and I trust that we do this morning, that's why we're here, then we truly know that God has a divine purpose and a divine plan. And this morning, I just want to say to us that we ought to be thankful people. And even right now, you ought to say to God, God, thank You for just speaking to me today. And God, I pray that You'd speak to me every day. And I would listen to what You have to say, and I would get in line with what You have to say. You see, dear friends, a right biblical view of God will make us thankful. You get a wrong biblical view of God, and you'll find yourself in trouble. You're not going to be thankful. But if you have a right view of God and really know and understand and believe that God has His absolute best in mind for you, there's no way you can walk out here this morning and be an unthankful person. There's no way. He wants to bless your life. 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 50. Let's turn there. 2 Samuel 22, verse 50. And this is David, by the way, and he's giving thanks. This is actually a prayer of thanksgiving. And I'll put this all in context. I need to read this verse first, and then we'll formulate the thought. So let me not get too far ahead of you. But he says this. He says, this is David. He says, therefore I will give thanks unto Thee, O Lord. And I want us to notice the environment that he's in. Among the heathen. Therefore I will give thanks to Thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and I will sing praises unto Thy name. Friends, David's thanksgiving was not based on his environment. Beloved, today we live in an environment that is getting so wicked. And we're seeing violence and crime. Everything's just going out of control. And many people today have lost the spirit of thanksgiving, and we've gained this perspective of gloom and despair. That's not biblical thinking. It's contrary to it. You know, David was in the midst of a heathen culture, and he gave thanks. And I want us to understand this morning that, once again, if we let our emotions drive us, friends, emotionally, we would be so far out of bounds. But if we let the principles of God drive us, it doesn't faze us. Why is that? We believe what God says. Beloved, it's so simple. If I don't believe God, I can't expect anything from God. And there's not a generic idea of believing. Believing is everything God has to say. What God says, I believe. That's from Genesis to the book of Revelation. And so if I'm going to walk in this newfound power, I must dig into the deep wells of Scripture, understand God's heart, understand God's mind, and believe what He says. Friends, then I'll walk the way He wants me to walk. I'll walk in His ways. Friends, thankfulness is a choice this morning. We choose to be thankful. And David chose to be thankful among the heathen. Beloved, when I trust God and I believe God, I have to trust Him and I have to believe Him, the outcome is I will be thankful. You take somebody that's thankful, it's pretty hard to beat that person down. Really is. You take somebody that really isn't thankful and kind of second guesses everything, you can beat them down pretty quick. But you take a thankful person who's resonating the trusts of God in his life, you're going to have a hard time knocking him out of balance or out of balance. David said in Psalm 13, verse 5, and we got to hurry up, "But I have trusted in thy mercy," listen to this, "and my heart shall rejoice in thy salvation." Friends, that's an act of the will. I choose to do that which God says. I choose to do that which God says. And when I do that, and God does his work in my heart, I find myself being thankful. Now I'm going to ask a question. I'm going to close. I'm out of time. We got a lot more to share. We'll pick it up next week. But this morning, I just ask you, this last week, have you found yourself being thankful? Is God resonating in your heart and you're giving him thanks for his goodness in your life? Here's the beauty of it, friends. If that's not the case, you have this week to do that. And you can make the choice this week to say, you know what, God, I'm going to give thanks to you. And friends, when those things come into your life that just tear you up, remember who God is and thank him for who he is. Amen. And friends, I'll tell you, the outcome of your day will be blessed. It'll be precious because you're walking in step with him. Amen? Amen. Let's pray this morning. Father God, thank you once again for the Word of God. Thank you for the alignment of your Scripture, how it puts us where we need to be. And Father God, this morning we pray that you would work and bless each precious life here, Father. We know that you love each one so much. Father, we thank you for that love and thank you for your commandments. Lord, they're not burdensome because we know they are boundaries that are designed to protect us. And so, Father, may we have a right perspective this morning on the truth of your word. Father, I pray now that as we go throughout this week, you would have first place in our lives. We ask these things in Christ's precious name. Amen. Amen. Brother Joe.